If you'd like to open up your Bibles to our reading this afternoon, it's from Mark 4, starting at verse 35. I'm sure it's a story that we all know so well, but it'll be great to look into it a bit more this evening. So Mark 4, starting at verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." It'll be the text that we'll be looking at. I'm going to start with a really big statement this evening. At some point in our lives, we've all asked a question. Now, I guarantee it, at some point in your life, you've turned to someone and asked a question. I'll admit it, sometimes maybe you shouldn't have asked that particular question that you did. Sometimes we might even wish that people would stop asking us questions. Maybe when your kids and you're in the car on the way to your holiday and they love playing that really fun game of why to every single thing that you say. And we've all asked questions at school, at uni, at work, in our friendships, in our marriages. Sometimes they can be really easy questions. What's for dinner? What's on TV tonight? What are we doing tomorrow? But sometimes they're really hard questions. Why is the sky blue? Why does no one like me? Why don't Mum and Dad love each other anymore? And at times we can ask really big questions of God as well. What's the point of life? Why is this happening? Where are you, God? Who are you, Jesus? And in this passage that we just read of, we see some pretty big questions being asked. They're questions that probably everyone at one point in their life has asked themselves. And in these verses, we'll get to see why these questions are asked and how Jesus answers them. So let's look at our first point this evening, the disciples' questions. The disciples, as we see in this time, ask two main questions. One question comes in response to Jesus' inaction to their situation, and the other question comes in response to the action that Jesus does take. So we'll set the scene, even though it's a scene that we know quite well. Jesus has been drawing massive crowds to himself, as we've seen the last few weeks, going through chapter 4 in particular. He spent time teaching and healing people. He tells parables about planting seeds and talking about the kingdom of God. And some people understand him and some people don't. And at the beginning of our passage, it says, that day when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to the other side." So the disciples get in the boat with Jesus and they set off on their trip, accompanied by others. That same day that Jesus, we looked at before, tells the parables, that very same day, he wants to go in the boat across to the other side. Jesus was feeling pretty tired at this point, I'm sure, because he spent so long trying to get through to these people exactly what he was talking about. And so he looks to have a bit of a break while they make their journey over. And it says in verse 37, a furious squall came up. A squall, if you didn't know, is a really intense, sudden, like, thunderstorm. It just kind of happens, and there's massive wind and wave going on. And this squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped, so that they were almost sunk. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Perfect Storm before. It's one of my favourite movies. If you haven't seen it, maybe watch it tonight, and you can say that it's related to the sermon. In that movie, it's the story about this incredible sudden storm that comes up that they didn't expect. They're fishermen out on the boats, and this storm comes, and they have to do everything they can to survive. And that's what we see happening in this passage, that these massive waves are towering over the disciples, that they weren't prepared or they weren't even expecting this. They just thought they were going on a little boat trip across the sea, that they were taking Jesus to where he wanted to go. But they had to deal with this squall that came up. So they were frantically trying to figure out how to do this. Maybe they had buckets and were quickly trying to get all the water out, but it was coming in too quickly. And these are experienced fishermen, some of these. But we know that while they're fishermen of men now, that they used to be fishermen of actual fish, and so they'd be used to being out in this environment. But yet we see there that even they are freaking out at this, that they're unable to handle it. They're unable to stop the storm from having its way with them and the boat. And so we see in verse 38 that Jesus was just having a nap. He's sleeping on a cushion. But I want to say probably a bit more than a nap, because to be asleep during all of this would be a pretty intense, deep sleep. I'm sure some of us wish that we could sleep in that same way. And so the disciples turn to Jesus as he's sleeping. And they say to him, they ask him the first question we're going to be looking at this evening. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we perish in this boat? How can you be sleeping while all of this is going on, while we're fighting for our lives? They're crying out to Jesus. They're crying out to him, saying, how can you do nothing during this? How can you do nothing in this life and death situation? We know that Jesus said earlier there, let us go to the other side. But this storm is so furious, it's so ferocious, that the disciples don't even think they're going to be getting to the other side. That Jesus is just lying there doing nothing, sleeping. That bar a miracle, that they'll perish there. That what Jesus said was going to happen, that they'll go to the other side, won't happen. And so they cry out, teacher, don't you care we're all going to die? And Jesus responds. He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. As so often happens, Jesus takes this and he hits straight at the true reason for the cry of the disciples. It wasn't so much that they were just saying it out of fear, though of course they would be afraid. But he points to the real issue in verse 40 and he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? For when they cried out, don't you care? In that moment, it showed that their faith didn't stand so strong during that storm. Now, we could read this and we could think, well, silly disciples, of course you're going to make it. Jesus is in the boat with you. He said you're going to go to the other side. And you've been there and spent time with him. You've seen him cast out demons and heal lepers. Of course you're going to make it. What are you so worried about? Haven't you learned anything from your time with Jesus? But I think you'd be fooling yourself if you wouldn't be just as scared as the disciples were in that instance. That we're not better than the disciples. We are the disciples, crying out to Jesus in these situations. We cry out to God all the same. Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm suffering? Can't you see that I'm in over my head, that I'm drowning over here? Won't you help me, God? How many times have you thought or said or prayed this very thing? When it seems like God is sleeping while you're suffering. When you're in the middle of a storm of sorrow, a storm of mourning, a storm of pain or broken relationships. When we're in the midst of this, suddenly the disciples don't look so foolish. They don't look so silly. And like the disciples, we can find ourselves in situations where we have nowhere to turn but to God and cry out to Him, help us. This text has a very personal impact on my life. I've often cried this, and one example of that was last year of a storm that came so unexpectedly. I was on my way to college, the first day of the semester, and I get a phone call from my mum. And what she said to me was that my sister, who was 33 weeks pregnant, who I'd seen a couple of weeks before that, had a brain tumour. And it wasn't any old brain tumour. It was 3 times bigger than anyone had ever seen. And that came unexpectedly. We were looking forward to the birth of her son. And then out of nowhere, this storm comes in and changes everything. And we spent many nights crying out to God. Don't you care? During that time, I remember these words that say, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? This is a question that I ask myself during that time, and I'm sure there's been times in your life where you can ask that question too. But despite what we see Christ has done, despite what we read in the Bible of how Christ has come and done these incredible, unbelievable things, how we read this very story, and yet there's still times in our life where that question can apply to us. And more than the disciples, we can be more sure that God does care. We have more reason to believe because at this point Christ hadn't died on the cross. He hadn't rose again. And yet we live here now knowing that that's what He did. That we should be so sure that God cares because it drove Christ to the cross. And so this is so much more than a Sunday school, Jesus, calm the storm for the disciples. He can calm the storm in your lives. Though that's true, of course. And yes, we can call out to Him in our hard times. But that your storm in your life, the storm in my life, last year, so much more than just that trial, than that struggle that I was going through, that we go through. It's so much worse than we could imagine. It's about our souls. It's about our struggle to fear and trust God, to have faith in him, even when the storm of Satan and sin is upon us, even when it's looking to sink us. And Jesus doesn't tell the disciples where they're going. The journey is far more important than the destination. But here we see that there needs to be a change of perspective. That Jesus isn't just a storyteller, isn't just a teacher, though they say, teacher, teacher. He isn't just a man who has incredible spiritual insight and truth to be spoken. He's so much more than that. And so when they ask, who is this man in verse 41, they just witnessed who it is. And so let's look now at how Jesus answers these questions in a bit more detail as we come to our second point. In the three times that Jesus speaks in this passage, it helps us to understand a bit more fully who he is, and as it reveals a few more key attributes of his character. And the first is in verse 35. It says, let us go over to the other side. And here we see the first aspect there, the sovereignty of God, the all-knowing ability of Christ. That Christ knew about the storm when he said, let's go to the other side. But he wasn't shocked by it. It doesn't say that he got up and couldn't believe what was happening, that he was all out of sorts. He wasn't startled or unsure about what to do. No, he was sleeping. He knew it would happen. And when the time was needed, he went and did what the disciples couldn't, and he calmed the storm. Because he knew that this storm that was going to come on the disciples, that it would drive the disciples to see his glory, that it would drive the disciples to see his power and authority. And that's the second aspect that we see in this. That when he says, be quiet, be still, that he's responding to the call from the disciples. That through his act of calming the seas, he answers their cry. That through the quietening of the storm, his authority is displayed. And imagine for a minute being there, being one of the disciples or one of the boats around there with them, witnessing this. That they think, well, maybe this guy Jesus, he's a good teacher by their own words. And then Jesus comes up, speaks out, and it goes calm. It instantly dies down. It doesn't just quieten down over a period of time, and it instantly happens. That Jesus is speaking out loud to the winds and the waves. These are elements of nature. They don't have ears to hear. They can't understand what people say. But yet that's the amazing thing about this that we see in this passage, that Jesus does have that power and authority. That he can speak even to those that have no ears, that those who can't respond. That Jesus spoke and it happened. It's a stamp of his authority. Not just over the wind and the waves, but it's a stamp of authority over the claim that he was making this whole time. That he is the Son of God. For who else could even have that power over nature? And I'm sure for us, like it would for them, it would remind them of creation. Where just through speaking, God makes it happen. That just through speaking, through commands, the sea and the land and the sky appear. And here Christ is doing the same thing. He's speaking over nature and it obeys, it listens to him. Imagine being there and seeing that. Your jaw would be hitting the floor. That's some kind of authority, the likes of which you'd never see apart from in Jesus. No wonder at the end there it says that the disciples were terrified, that they were freaked out at what they just witnessed, this power and authority that Jesus had. This passage also points to another really key attribute, the grace of Christ. We see that in verse 40 when he says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Shows the disciples' lack of faith, for they thought that they would drown. But despite having seen Jesus do and say incredible, unparalleled things, they were still so scared and afraid. They still couldn't believe what was going to happen. And yet, despite their lack of faith, Jesus answers their cry. But despite their lack of faith, and not because of how great their faith was, Jesus calms the storms and he saves them from drowning. He does care if they drown. He does care if they perish. We saw that when he was inactive before just sleeping. He wasn't that because he didn't care. He was inactive at that point so that when he did act, the disciples could more fully see who he was. That if he had stilled the waters and the wind when it was just starting up, that wouldn't truly show his glory. It wouldn't truly show his power and authority, for they weren't fighting for their lives. They weren't at their rope's end. And yet, despite their lack of faith, he displays his grace and his love and his kindness by saving them through his words. And he saves them. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's a savior. It's not just the disciples that he saved, of course. We know that he saved you and me too. That we do the same as the disciples. That we've seen all that he's done, and yet we still question, we still cry out in those times. We still have doubts, we still struggle to have faith in God. And yet Christ does the same for us. He shows us grace. He shows us love. And in this miracle, Jesus displays that he's all-knowing, that he's sovereign over everything. He displays that he has all power and all authority over everything. And he displays his unbelievable, gracious, and loving spirit. It's in this miracle that we get to see that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God. And that in every storm and trial in our lives, that we should see this as an opportunity to join the disciples, to be in awe of who God is, of who Christ is, to witness the grace of God in our lives, to appreciate the all-knowing and sovereign power that he has, to see the identity of Jesus. That this doesn't need to be a Sunday school lesson of Jesus fix that so he can fix this too. What it calls for is a response of fear to God. To see that Jesus is ruler over all, that he's conquered over all. That he's conquered over all on the cross, that he's conquered things that we could never conquer. Death, sin, the curse. That Christ has conquered all of this by dying and then rising again, so that we too can have this everlasting life. We can see that in our times of being in storms, that whereby God's hand they pass, or they remain the same. And a struggle every single day. Maybe you suffer with chronic pain every day. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's broken relationships or a brain tumor. But that storm that you're in, that storm itself is an opportunity that we can make this discovery, to be reminded who Jesus Christ is, that he's the Savior of our souls. You pray with me.